You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510 WWBC, you can hit that Lesson Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, they are also on demand. We are here each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. You can download the shows from any of those spots where it's archived. Of course, then we share it on our social media channels, which we have a ton of people on those social media channels lately, even without more recent things that have happened. Now that we don't have one channel that's not working right now. But also on our website, SitaMediaInc.com.
We've got a fantastic show scheduled today. For our listeners who are tuning in for the first time to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, on Mondays from 1 to 2, this is our 15th year on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We sit here in this studio and we talk about kitchen table topics, things that are facing us right here in Brevard County, Florida, as well as the state of Florida, around the world. And we give folks a platform to speak about whatever they want to speak about, knowing very well that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. In other words, you have to be nice.
That's right.
And say nice things, even if you don't want to at times.
Well,
because we've got people that are listening. Anyways, so today we've got our friend Peter Mohuzin. How do you say Pete's last name?
Mohuzin.
Yeah, I said it correctly.
Yes. Yep.
Pete's supposed to be calling in, if time permits, and talk to us a little bit about the Renaissance Fair. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know you noticed, Ellen, but they moved the fair to Melbourne, Florida.
I did.
And it's in the 10th season, and Pete has been a friend of our show since the beginning of the Renaissance Fair.
Well, if you remember correctly, we had him on the show when they were doing the raising the money for Annie the Dragon at the end of Merritt Island, and that was what the money was supposed to be used for. And when that didn't come to fruition, Peter used the money to start the Brevard Renaissance Fair.
That's right.
And that was, what, 7-8 years ago, right?
He used a lot of his own money for that.
He did.
He did.
And he certainly used all of that money for Raising the Dragon, which is, you know, again, another still very much a part of the Brevard community.
And our second segment, our friend Gail, is it Skinner Hart? You still use the middle?
Gail
Hart is here. And Gail is the communications person for the
Women in
Space Coast chapter of Women in Defense.
Yes,
you do all the events, and you actually sent me out a whole bunch of nice events that are coming up, which we'll talk about at the Hotel Melby and the Carib Brewery and all this good stuff. And so Gail will be on the second segment to talk about the Women in Defense, the scholarships, and all the great things that they're doing to help the young people and even people who are older that wants to learn more about STEM. We'll learn about that in the second segment. And Peter is going to be here on the first segment. And Pete, I think, but before we go to Peter, you know, today is Dr. Martin Luther King's Day. And I saw the display you all did in the front. That was wonderful. And of course, everyone I know knows this quote from Dr. Martin Luther King that says, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will be not judged by the color of the skin, but the content of their character." And that has stayed in my heart all my life, because I am a darkie, as you could see, the darkie Indian, right? And that applies not just to African-American people, but we also saw that in the Indian community, that sometimes people were judged because their skin was fair or light. And I would like to say that I prefer people be judged by their merit. their integrity content and their character, right? And with that,
whereas my sister says by their shoes and their cars. Kidding.
Yeah, that's kind of vain, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
And so we've got Pete Muhuzin, and he's on the phone, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Renaissance Fair with Pete. Pete, thank you for taking time from the busy happenings at the fair to talk to us about what's going on the 10th year of the Brevard Renaissance Fair. Bring us up to spar on up to date about the Viking weekend and all the other things that are going on.
Hi, Sita. Glad to be back. We haven't talked in a while.
Yes.
You're right. This is our 10th year, our 10th year anniversary, coming to a brand new location off of New York Avenue after 9 years at Wickham Park. We're pretty excited. This is an all new site that we just got done laying out and building. We built a lot of buildings here. We've got a lot of entertainment, a lot of new stages, a brand new castle, brand new stables. I think something that people would really enjoy.
And Pete,
we're 6 weeks this year.
Right, and you are the CEO of the Brevard Renaissance Fair. I mean, you've been with the fair for almost 10 years, Pete, and we were just saying we remember when you started. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how all this came about.
This all came about because I got involved with a group to help them out and stuff, and I'm a dreamer, and I believe in go big or go home. And I just want to keep driving this. I think this is a great opportunity for the community, for young families and kids to spark their imaginations, to allow them to learn history while they're having fun. And that's what keeps driving me. I know I'm getting older. I'm looking at 70. And it's like, you know, I still keep doing this. And I still love to see the sparkle in their eyes when I see young kids looking at Annie the Dragon or at the new alligator that we've got out there or watching the jousters. Or the Amazon girls on horseback. I think it's just great to watch that. And I think that's our driving point behind this.
Yeah, and you're educating so many people about that time period when there was a rebirth in our world.
Correct, yeah. And we've got some great people on staff that really help out. They're former educators. They're well-educated about the Renaissance period and stuff. And then we also bring in a lot of groups from around the world. You know, we have Albanach here, which are basically all Scottish and Scotsmen. They were all born and bred in Scotland. We have Daradel, which is a band that's coming here this year from Northern Italy. They played more than 300 shows in Italy, Europe, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates. And they bring in a passion of folk music and traditions of ancient Europe. We've got the girls from Equestrian Chaos coming here, who resurrected the legendary Amazon warrior woman and show you their craftsmanship with archery and on horseback. So we bring a lot of stuff here, and I'll give you another one, Lady Ophelia. We've got one of the largest maypoles in the state. It's 22 feet tall, and she loves teaching maypole dances and old-style dances, Renaissance dances, and it's fun to watch all the different groups and people get involved and learn something different than what you do nowadays.
Yeah, and you know what's so wonderful about the fair? I've never missed any of the fairs for the last nine years. It's so colorful, and there's loads of music and dancing and characters. And I heard that this year you've got 100 stages?
We have 12 stages. 12 stages are all that you'll see over 100.
So you have
shows
100 stage shows. So you have like you have 100
right,
shows,
yes.
But 12. Okay, gotcha. All right.
Yeah. And so we have 12 stages, and there's at least three groups on each stage. So there's things going on all day long, and you can just move around the fair. You can shop. You can go watch a show. You can shoot the bow and arrow, or throw an axe, or go watch another show, or do some more shopping. Sit down underneath the tents and eat your lunch if you'd like.
Yeah, a lot of merchants. You got a lot of merchants this year as well. Well,
I
and
think
everyone
they told me with the food vendors, we have about 160 merchants this year.
Wow.
And then we put everything under tents this year. So we have almost 25,000 square feet of tent space.
Thank God, because it's so cold. The weather is so cold.
Just to remind everybody, if you haven't been, it's a show as soon as you park your car, that's when the show starts. Everyone's in character. So even the vendors, you can walk into any one of the vendor spots, and they usually stay in character. They have minstrels walking around. It's the it is truly the best family experience.
Right. And
in Brevard County.
Yeah, and what I like about it, Pete, is that it's grown so much that we had to move from Wickham Park to the new location. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Seton and Friends, how did that come about? Because, you know, Wickham Park is pretty large. And if you outgrow a festival at Wickham Park, it means you're doing something right and you're attracting the right crowd, the right people, yeah, and the right acts.
Right. Yeah. We saw the growth over the years, you know, 20, 30, 40% a year, year over year. We knew the day was going to come when we outgrew Wickham Park. And we were hoping to finish our 10-year anniversary there. But it didn't happen. But, you know, Mayor Paul Alfrey and the county commissioners, Rob Feltner, and a couple of the other commissioners went to work to find a new location for us. And they found this great piece of land that was bare. It's still inside the city limits. And it's a good location. It's next to the Sarno landfill. And I'll tell you about the landfill in a minute. But it's a perfect location to hold large-scale events, which is something that Brevard County does not have. There's no place in Brevard County to hold large-scale events where tens of thousands of people can come and not impact the area. And this is a perfect location, and we did that. And then let me tell you about the landfill. Everybody says, oh, my God, it's next to a dump. People really need to learn the definition of a landfill. This is a construction and demolition landfill, which means it only has construction material in there. There's no biodegradable stuff in there. So there's no smells that come from it. And I think that's important for people to know. You know, the landfill in Cocoa is different and it's managed different. So you really have zero smells here. And that's an important thing to remember.
Well, you know what? If you go all over the world and you see how other people live, a landfill is not a problem. Trust me.
Right.
We watch, yeah, you know, like in India, everybody watched Slumdog Millionaire, right? Everyone saw that.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a landfill and a place that smells. That's what we saw in the movie. So I haven't heard anyone say anything about that, but I could see, you know, your point and that people would be concerned about that. So tell us a little bit about the fair. So it's pet friendly. There's plenty of parking.
Correct.
So people don't have to worry. Yep. And then there's a lot of vendors. If you wanted to get your ticket, what does the ticket holder get for the ticket? Tell us all about that.
The ticket holder gets entry to the fair. They get a chance to watch any and every show they want. They're free to roam around and shop all day. All the different shows, the 35 different acts, I believe we've got out there. I don't keep track of those things as much anymore as I used to in the early days. We now have people that handle a lot of the vendor stuff and the entertainment stuff, and it's kind of nice to watch it grow. But if they want to eat, we've got a couple of large food courts, and they're covered with a variety of different foods. There are games that they can play, games of skill, and games of chance, and there's all types of different things that they can do. They have some events that they do at night, like this year was our first fantasy ball on Saturday night, and it was amazing to see the crowd there on Saturday night underneath the tent dancing and everybody coming in some sort of garb, dressed up in their fantasy or whatever they wanted to do. And it was a good, healthy crowd to watch our first year, and they did things. So every Saturday we have different shows. Every Saturday night after the main show ends, which is normally around 7 o'clock, then they go to the Queen stage, which is one of our brand new stages, and it'll be a spectacular stage down the road as we add to it in time. That's where the concerts will be held. And we have a variety of groups coming to the different concerts from Europe and also from Canada, folk musicians of different kinds. So I try to give as much culture out here as I can get so that people can see different things that you normally don't see every day.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that every weekend is a different theme. So you alluded to this weekend being fantasy weekend. There's Viking weekend, pirate weekend, Celtic weekend.
I want
beer
the Celtic
fest
weekend.
Weekend.
I like to dance.
You know, carnival weekend. With carnival is like more of a Trini thing, right?
Yeah.
Sita?
Yeah.
But you know,
we're gonna
We're going to have a fun time. That's the first time we've done that.
Next thing he's going to have reggae and calypso weekend.
You know,
Pete.
Hey, don't be surprised.
I was just going to say.
Bollywood night. Next thing's coming to the Renaissance.
There you go.
So, you know, Pete, the Renaissance period was marked by, you know, renewed interest. And it's a culture that was spread from Italy, you know, and right up to the Roman culture. How did you get involved with this particular hobby? Because when you think about it, there's so many things that people could get involved in, right? And I think about Robin Hood and Men in Tights and Mary and the Maid.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I think about when I think about the Renaissance period and what happened back then. But here you are. You said you're 70 years old, and you decided that that this was, you know, this was what you were going to do. You were going to bring culture to Brevard in the form of the Renaissance Fair.
I got involved because I thought it was something fun and unique, and they asked me to support it. And I was kind of retired at the time, so I was a little bored. I had a little lawn business for some extra cash. And I thought this group of individuals here in Brevard County, a young group, had the motivation and desire to do something. And I told them it needed to be, they're going to do it, it needed to be big, and it needed to be great. I don't like doing it halfway. And they took up the challenge, and many of them are still with us now. And it's been such an experience watching some of these young kids that were 15 and 16 years old when they started grow into their own careers and start their own families and come back with their own kids to the Renaissance Fair. And I think that's what it's all about. I mean, I could have gone home and sat in my rocking chair and rocked away. That really wasn't my desire.
Right. And it seems to me like the Renaissance period makes us think about things like poetry and even grammar and history, moral philosophy, and all these things that in today's world, we need to bring that back. Because it's really, in some ways, it's really family-centered, this entire period.
Correct. And that's really what we focus on. I mean, we have an education day, which has been fun to watch it grow over the years. I mean, we draw kids from schools in Sanford and Kissimmee and from other places and stuff. And it's amazing to watch 2,500 kids come in and actually get lessons from people that are extremely familiar with the Renaissance period and be able to talk about the hurdy-gurdy and the different instruments and the behavior of, you know, expectations of individuals during that period of time. I think it's a good chance for kids to learn, and that's what's fun about it. That's part of our responsibility as we get older, is to help the younger generations learn.
Right, and you get the kids to take a journey, a magical journey back in time, to get off their phones and everything else and go with their friends. And, you know, people really put a lot of money into their costumes and walking around. And once you get to the fair, I know for me, you can't leave. You want to stay and you know, watch all the acts and all that. But I know that it takes a big team to put on the Renaissance Fair. So talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Seat and Friends about this team that you were able to get everybody together from, you know, the high school children, the ROTC program, to the team players of your group that got this play on, this Renaissance Fair on.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are involved. It used to be a much smaller group, and we tried to do everything, a lot of it ourselves, but we've expanded upon that. I mean, we work with some charities or charitable groups and stuff that we like to bring on board, and we help them get raise money by working at the fair for the junior ROTC at the O'Galley High School. We basically pay for their ball every year. And there's some other groups that we help out. Some of them have moved on and gotten older. We've got some new groups coming in. So it's fun to watch them. Our team has gotten a lot bigger over the years. Obviously, as you expand and grow, you've got to bring in people that are focused on one individual task, you know, like a vendor coordinator, food coordinator, a security individual, camping, and all these other things and stuff that are going on. So it gets a little bit easier for me from a management standpoint instead of a physical working standpoint all the time.
Right. And do you have to be on the premises all the time, Pete? Because I know you've expanded the time. So tell our listeners a little bit about what time the gates open and the times and how many weekends the fair is going to be on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I moved in here in mid-October, and I'm here all the time because I want it to be a success. But our fair is open just on Saturdays and Sundays, and Martin Luther King Day today. We open up from 10 to 7 p.m. on Saturdays. Sorry, take that back. From 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. on Saturdays, because we have our show ends at 7 o'clock, and then we move to another stage where we do the special night concert, something unique to the Brevard Renaissance Fair. And then on Sundays, we're open from 10 o'clock till 7 p.m.
And
those are our hours.
And what about the tickets? Can someone buy one ticket and use it all the time, like a package deal? Do you have a package deal where you can say, hey, I like the fair so much, I'd like to come more than once, right?
Well, funny you should mention that. We were just talking about this. We started our royal family, which are the patrons that come all the time. They're here every weekend, rain or shine, they're here. They're the most dedicated and loyal, and we call them the royal family. We started that group about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's amazing that it's grown to close to 400 families.
Wow.
that commit to being here. And we reward them with that, with some special, you know, specialty things. So, but they're here all the time. And you can get the Royal Family ticket, join the Royal Family group. And I think over the years, that'll expand even more as we are able to get the permanent site and to build something that they can call their own. We also have season tickets that you can buy. So you can come in as a season ticket holder. And that just gets you in there every weekend at a discounted price. Or you can buy regular tickets and stuff. And one of the things we've talked about is the day is going to come where we have to have day specific tickets.
Mm.
You know, the
capacity
of the parking.
Oh, I can see that coming.
Oh, it's coming.
So, Pete, what will it take for you all to have a permanent home? Because I know, obviously, it's money and, you know, tax breaks,
yeah,
and talking to the city council and the mayor. But what a wonderful gift to Brevard and to tourism, history, education, to have the Renaissance Fair. What will it take for you to have this?
There's a great opportunity here. You know, this is a county land, and it's not being utilized for anything. So it's now generating revenue instead of just sitting there empty. We have a 6-month lease that we can renew for another 6 months, which we're going to do. We're just going to automatically do that because we will host other events. I have other events scheduled this year that I plan to bring forward. Because I love the site. The thing that needs to happen is the county or in the city need to somehow reach an agreement to either allow us to have a long-term lease or to do a land swap and then give us a long-term lease. The possibility is there to put something together for the people of Brevard. And we're willing to sign a long-term lease. And I think once we sign that, we'll generate several million dollars of investment in a hurry to make this a permanent hard site that is able to be used by many, many different events.
Yeah, and in 10 years of having the Brevard Renaissance Fair, I haven't heard of one incident where someone is misbehaving. I haven't heard of any mishaps. If anything, it's been so family-oriented, and people love, I mean, you've got repeat customers. People plan to come back year after year, and I think if you have Mayor Paul Alfrey on board, that's a great thing, because he can see the benefits of having this, you know, in Brevard. But I want to tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends that the children under 5 are free. Am I correct?
Correct, yes.
And you have senior citizens discount, you have military or active. What is the military discount?
I believe the price is only $25 for the ticket.
Okay.
Yeah, student, senior, and military is 23. This, I'm just reading it off the website.
Okay,
a one-day pass
you.
For a child. So I'm getting you out of trouble there.
Yeah.
Yeah, one-day pass for a child is $17. One-day pass for an adult is $29. Of course, they have the multiple-day tickets that are, you get a little bit of a break on those. $12 if you want your pet to come. There's a 12-day, one-day pass for a pet. They also have the season opportunity for the pet as well. And $5 for parking, which is very modest, but that's included in your ticket for Royal Family and for season ticket holders. So if you get the Royal Family or the season ticket, you automatically have the $5 parking.
Which
in
is not
already.
That much when you think about
no,
what's
and
the
ample
value,
parking,
right?
Well, and you got to think too that people don't realize that there's maintenance to do for those parking areas, you know, especially if it gets muddy or whatever. There's people that has to go out there.
Pete and I know about muddy. One year there was so much mud. I remember Pete and I.
It's not a Renaissance festival unless there's some mud.
But Pete, before we go off here, we got a couple of minutes left. Talk to me about the pub crawl. That sounds like a fun event. Is it twice a day you guys are doing that?
It's twice a day. We've got a couple different groups that go out twice a day. It's usually kept to about 30 to 40 people. They're entertainers that take the group around to the different pubs and basically entertain and have a great time. You can always see them going through their fair because they're chanting something, singing something, or laughing about something.
That sounds like a real boozy adventure. And I was reading where they tell jokes, they play games, they sing songs, and it's like it's an adventure to take you on an adventure throughout the entire fair.
It is, and we give you a souvenir mug when you're all done.
Wow, so do you have to be drunk to get it?
No, but there are some people that probably are a little drunk, but our bartenders are good at keeping an eye on them. And, you know, earlier you mentioned we've never had an incident. We have never had an incident at this event, and we hope we never do. It's very family-friendly. We've got great staff, great people, and the community is just great. They're here to have fun.
Yeah, people
just
come together.
They put their phones away and enjoy themselves. Yeah.
So we've got like 3 minutes left in the segment. Talk to us about the entertainment. You have people coming from all over the world, and what are some of the new acts that we haven't seen before that you were able to snag for this?
Yeah, I can do that for you. We've got several new acts in this year. We've got Celtic Mayhem with a soul fueled by rhythm and heart turned to melody. Celtic Mayhem is a passionate group dedicated to the power of music to uplift, inspire, and unite. I love the group. They're a great group to sing. I went and watched them in Ohio. I watched them at a couple of other different Renaissance fairs. They're really good. We've also got a lot of the old people. We've got some local acts. We've got Dora Villetta, and she'll take you through time with an intriguing array of music on the hurdy-gurdy. And I never even knew what a hurdy-gurdy was until a couple of years ago.
And our friends are playing as well, Sita, the Crested Hens.
Oh,
Crested Hens.
Yeah,
that's a local group.
They are a local group, and they are good friends of ours. Sita, you don't even realize who you know. Annie and Annie and Joyce and that whole crew.
Oh, yes.
They are fantastic, and they've been playing a lot. As a matter of fact, every time I see them in our crowd when we're playing, I always get them to come up and do a little something.
Do you still have, like, the archery contest and all that, and the jostling and all that? We
still have all of that, yeah.
Yeah.
And we have there's another local group that's been with us for 10 years, and that's Deborah Thornton's group, Youth in Harmony. They've been with us for 10 years. And it's been fun to watch those kids grow musically. They perform for us at Brevard. They perform for us at Sarasota. They've been to different parades, to different shows that we've done in promotional events. It's a great group of young kids, and they're here every year. And they perform differently. Sometimes they're pirates. Sometimes they're something else.
Well, you know, Pete.
But they've been with us for years.
You know, Pete, I'm not from the 15th and 16th century at all. But what I find interesting about this Renaissance fair is, to me, it's almost like you and all the team players in the Renaissance Fair, you're honoring your ancestors. Mm-hmm. That's what I think it is.
Well, we are, in a way. That's where it started at. You know, we have to remember our history, you know.
I mean, it's so important,
right? Otherwise, we're going to repeat it.
But these are true community type of, you know, the Renaissance Fair, it always reminds me of just like basically a small little city.
Yes.
And that's what a little city would be like. You know, minstrels walking through the streets and people dressing up. And I tell you, if you have a child that's interested in art and theater at all, this is something to invest some money in to let your children see what it's like to be an artist, because they are just amazing.
Right.
And they are such good people. They bring you in, they make you feel welcome, and you're always part of the show, which is the best part.
And I find what I like about the Renaissance Fair, you put value on every human being. It's a form of humanism, you know, like everyone at that fair has a role to play. From the minute you walk into the door, the person who's giving you buying your ticket from, and they speak as though they're from that era as well, which makes you feel like all of a sudden you've stepped into a fairy tale.
Right. Well, you know, our cast this year is the largest cast we've ever had. I believe there's close to 80 people on cast this year. We've never had a cast that big. And these are people that will, you'll see them around the fair doing all the different things that you were just talking about. And they start rehearsals. They've been rehearsing since the beginning of November every weekend.
Yeah. And where all these people staying, Pete?
Sundown.
Do they stay at the location there, or do they stay in hotels? I mean, that's a lot of people to house.
Well, we do a lot of different things. We built a campground and had to expand the campground. This is twice as big as we had at Wickham Park. We were just kind of stunned. Some of them stay in hotels. Other people are local people from either Brevard area or Orlando, Kissimmee. But they come in. We've got some of the entertainers are driving in from St. Lucie every weekend and put up a pup tent and stay here and then go back home on Sunday nights. So they come from all over, and it's just, like you said, it's a community.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday, during the big storm yesterday, they had one of the tents start to fall down. I've never seen so many people race over there to help that person put that tent back up and get it going and get her back into shape.
The rain pit crew.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
The rain pit crew comes out of nowhere.
Well, Pete don't sound like
nowhere.
He's no 70-year-old, I'll tell you that.
Right, exactly.
Pete sounds like he's in his 30s and passionate about this fair.
Well, we will make sure that...
Well, I am passionate because it's fun.
Yes.
Well,
and we will make sure
the best in you, Pete.
January 18th through February 23rd, each and every weekend, make sure you get out to the park. It's called Castle Park, 3190 New York Avenue in Melbourne, Florida. If you're familiar with Wickham Road, it's just a little south of the dog track. It makes that easy. You take a right-hand turn and go right down. Tickets are on sale on BrevardRenaissanceFair.com. Of course, you have to spell Renaissance correctly, R-E-N-A-I-S-S-A-N-C-E. And they have merchandise, all kinds of great things available. And we will make sure we promote it each and every week while the fair is running here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Unfortunately, we need to take a break and listen to our sponsors real quick. We'll be right back after these messages with Gail with Women in Defense.
Nine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. Ellen, what a great segment with our longtime friend Pete. To think that he had his first interview for the Renaissance Fair with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
That's right.
We knew it all.
We did. We knew how it started and everything. And he's been such a great friend. Every time I show up at the Renaissance Fair, it's always like he comes out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's hugs and kisses, old friends.
You know?
Yeah, I love it. And we are here on 1510 WWBC. You can hit the listen live button. You got me sidetracked, Sita.
Yeah.
Hit the listen live button. Get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we archive all the shows on our social media. Her website, SitaMediaInc.com, and then, of course, here on the station as well.
Well, that's why our show is fun and it's unscripted, and we give out valuable information.
And we make best friends.
Yeah.
For years.
We do stuff here, right, Allie?
Indeed.
We're the kind of people that you come to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and you leave being a friend of the show, and you make a connection on the show as well.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm sure Gail would be going to see, to experience the Renaissance Fair. Have you been with yet?
I have not been.
Oh, look. Well, we got a person who's coming, Pete.
Yes.
So our second segment, our friend Gail Skinner Hart is here, and she is the communication specialist, I want to say, for the Women in Defense. And she's got quite a background with you financial background.
No, actually, my professional background is graphic design, marketing, and communication.
Well, look at that.
Yeah.
And you've been with the Space Coast Women in Defense for 7 years.
I have.
So if you don't mind, tell our listeners a little bit about your chapter and that it's a nonprofit, and what is your mission statement with the Women in Defense?
Well, this is the Space Coast chapter. We actually have three chapters across Central Florida, which would be our Central Florida chapter and our Greater Tampa Bay chapter. But the Space Coast obviously takes care of our larger and long 70-mile Brevard County area very specifically. We're interested in helping grow our young women and professional women, bringing them into networking, some of our military as they separate and begin to start their professional careers. We help engage them and introduce them to our community of businesses and help them grow as well.
A lot of collaboration and innovation.
Absolutely.
That's what I hear. So what's going on in Brevard? You've got your focus on scholarships, I know for sure, and you've got lots of events I've noticed coming up in Brevard.
We do. Very specifically, for those of you who do not know, we raise money all year long, and we award very deserving young women with scholarships in the June time frame. But we also recognize STEM innovators, those people who have contributed to the STEM disciplines. So we will also be recognizing them in the June time frame as well.
Yeah. And you know, the Space Coast is booming.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff going on here with the defense industry.
We are.
And you're seeing that a lot of young women are getting involved as well.
They are. And many are taking special interest in the STEM disciplines, which is very exciting because of all of the industry we have here locally on the space coast.
Yeah, and I read someplace where you have awarded more than $90,000 in scholarships to young women in our community.
That is correct, and I'm very proud, as my colleagues would be also, of what we've been able to accomplish. And the organization here on the Space Coast started in 2013. So basically in 12 short years, we've accomplished that number in supporting and recognizing a lot of our STEM innovators here as well.
Yeah. You retired, but then you decided to do this. So how did you get involved with the Space Coast Women in Defense?
Actually, I've been, as you had mentioned, 7 years. I've been very specifically working in the communications piece for our group for, this is now my 5th year. But I think the scholarship and building, helping to build and grow young women and helping kind of a networking of professionals that come together to help others, which is really a way of paying it forward and giving back as a professional myself. I like that I'm able to mentor and share my skills with others.
You guys opened the gateway to the wonders of science and engineering mm-hmm. for so many people. Now, Ali, have you heard of the Space Coast Women in Defense?
No, not Space specifically. That's I'm quite interested. This is my first exposure to them. One of the things I have noticed, though, in the area is, particularly with the rocket and all the stuff at Cape Canaveral up there, is that the spokesperson who comes on and explains what's going to be happening with that rocket, more often than not, is female. And I found that exciting, that they're definitely devoted and into all of that. But it's nice to see that that can happen right here locally.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and Gail, in addition to the networking and promoting the role of women in national defense and security, you all do a lot of other things. You can get a subscription to the National Defense Magazine, all kind of different things that you get with your membership. So talk to us about the membership. How does one become a member? Do you have to be in that program? How do you do it?
The Women in Defense is a subsidiary of the National Defense Industry Association, which is NDIA. And those of you in the listening audience who are part of the defense industry would recognize that. If you very specifically go to our website, widsc.org, there is an area for you to go and become a member, which will direct you then to the WID website where you can join. Membership does have its valuable benefits because it helps bring a lot of industry professionals together. For instance, if you are you find yourself looking for another job to grow or to move into, you've separated and you're ready to move into professional categories, this is a real good connection link to help bring people together. For instance, coming to some of our events, very specifically here on the Space Coast, we have a no-host social that we do on a quarterly basis. And it's at different events. There's no fee to come and be a part of this. You can learn more about WID. Our next social is February the 6th. It will be at the Courtyard Marriott in Cocoa Beach.
Yeah, what time? I didn't get the time for that one.
That is about 5:30 to 7:30.
Perfect. I like when it's in the evening because I can attend.
Yes. You just need to bring your wallet and,
and
participate with the rest of the group. There's a lot of meet new people, make some connections, learn more about WID, and perhaps then go out to the website and join.
Right, and you have something coming up at the Carib Brewery, which I'm from Trinidad, so I know all about the Carib beer.
Yes. Yeah. it's part of our NoHo Social. February 6th, very specifically, is the next one. Then we have another April the 3rd, and then another in August, which is at the Carib Brewery.
Right. And you also had summer camps for children. You had the Meaningful Software Innovation Summer Camp Program. And you've got Larson Sports on board for mentorships for a lot of stuff. You've got Space Coast Odyssey of the Mind. So talk to us about some of the educational program for you to draw the young ones in.
Well, we are very specifically interested in promoting the STEM disciplines. So we find opportunities to insert ourselves into programs throughout the year, throughout our county, that help support the STEM disciplines. In March, there is the WISE Symposium that's coming up, very specific to our awards, where we should be announcing very soon to accept nominations for our STEM Innovator Awards. And then if you watch our website, you'll find an opportunity if you're interested in our scholarship programs, and those will be awarded in June.
Right, and you have the children who can apply, the students for this scholarship, they have to be from Brevard County, or can they be from elsewhere?
Brevard County. And starting at the senior level, moving into their secondary education. So I'm actually going to be meeting with our Brevard County Schools, the PI organization, to help announce that our scholarship program will be opening up soon.
Right. And is it for secondary students, like in middle school and high school?
No, specifically the high school level, moving into college.
Okay, perfect. And the other thing that WID does, you are always seeking mentors. So talk to us about the volunteers and the mentoring programs. Because it's an opportunity for the people with experience to give back to the new generation.
That is true. That is true. And certainly, if you have some interest, I invite you to come out and take a look at the WID website, and then our local Space Coast WID website. Being able to give back and mentor these young women specifically, given the name of the organization, but certainly helping them grow their skills and expertise and knowledge. And hopefully they will find reason to then share and pass it forward as
right.
they get older as well.
And so at any given time, how many scholarships do you give out per year? Because you had a lot of kids that apply. Because I remember one year I came and there were like 12 people getting scholarships, maybe more.
Correct.
And you have to have judges that decide who gets the scholarship. How do you guys decide who's getting it?
We have a committee. Mm-hmm. And certainly they there's criteria that they have to follow in order to submit for an application. And this committee certainly looks at their accomplishments, their goals, their objectives, and the deserving piece of it is important as well.
Yeah, so they have to have an interest in science, technology, engineering, and math.
Correct.
And how do you find the students? I mean, do you partner with Brevard Public Schools, or how do we find these students?
Well, it's kind of on us to help share. Being a part of the community since 2013, people are aware that we do have scholarship programs, but of course getting the word out, like my going to this PI organization tomorrow, as a matter of fact, a PI breakfast, to share that we will be extending announcements to submit for applications. So in the event you have an opportunity that you would like to share with someone, you can mention that we've got some scholarships.
Oh, we will. And we'll do it on Viewpoint with Seed and Friends as well.
Yes.
We'll put in all the days. But you know, Ellen, what a great way for the students to learn to meet and greet each other, new skills, talk face-to-face, and get involved in their future through WID, right?
Well, because one of the things that I talked about before is that in the high schools today, we are not preparing our young people for the jobs that are going to be available in 5 years because we don't even know what's going to happen. But the women in defense, they kind of have a little bit more of an edge because they get to see, because they're working in the industry, and they get to share that knowledge and share some of that opportunity that maybe they wouldn't be coached through. You know, a young woman or a young man in high school wouldn't be coached through a counselor to be able to get to that.
Yeah, boys are allowed.
Yes.
I was going to mention it's women in defense, but it's men that are there too,
right,
as well.
And,
yes.
And providing that mentorship and providing that insight into what's happening now in technology and math and electronics and all of that, you know, science, all of that, going forward, we need outside organizations that are going to be
Brevard
able to support.
And Brevard is so, I mean, we've got everything here in Brevard, and the defense industry is just thriving here, right? So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Gail Hart. She is the communication and events lead for the Women in Defense. So the Women in Defense chapter, the Space Coast chapter, was founded when around 2013. And you've grown substantially. Take us through the growth of this thing. Huh? I mean, it's amazing. It started out so small, and here we are with scholarships, and people are going on field trips and camps and all these other things. The vision that you guys had to lead is astonishing.
Well, professional networking is a key to how we thrive, and we partner with other STEM disciplines and some of the military organizations to become stronger and to grow our networking.
And you're
to
promoting
help us
the
grow.
Role of women in the defense industry as well.
Correct.
Whereas so many women, and the great thing about the United States is we do promote women in all these roles. Mm-hmm. And you read about other countries where women are having a difficult time just getting to a school or just trying to get an education in science or math or whatever. And you have to say, you know, hip, hip, hooray for women in defense that starts at an early age to help young ones.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
And I'm sure. Now, do you guys, do you have anything like what you do overseas as well to bring people in, teach other people maybe online? Because we're seeing, like, all over the world, people need education and opportunities, and they don't have it like we do here.
No, not at this point, not internationally, but certainly look at the NDIA and the National WID Organization to research more on that and learn more.
Yeah. Ellen, oftentimes we have people that come on the show, and we talk about, you know, books and people who write books and people who have an adventure in mind to do something. But when you see the professionals networking here in Brevard to help our own, it does make you feel good. It makes you feel like there are students out there that don't know what's going on in Brevard with, you know, nonprofits such as WID. And it's our responsibility to share that information. So you tell us when is your next big event and what we can do here on Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends to share that event.
Awesome. What I would like to say, as a mentor myself, being able to share is gratifying, but I think what's even greater as you pay that forward is you learn too. You know, there's a lot of exchange between today's youth and even where I was at when I started my career, and to be able to have that exchange and that camaraderie, and we learn from each other and we continue to grow. Very specifically, I would like to invite all of the listening audience to become a part of. We have an event that we're co-hosting with our Greater Tampa Bay chapter and our Central Florida chapter called SpaceCom. It's a networking reception and during Space Week, very specifically on the 28th, which is next Tuesday. It will be held at the Orange County Convention Center on the West Concourse in room West W-230. That is, of course, I think I mentioned on the West Concourse, but plan to join us. Take a look at our website. You can register. Registration is only $25, but we have a tremendous slate of speakers. It will be a networking event, but we have Dr. Crystal Johnson as our keynote speaker, and then we have four panelists, Colonel Mandy Fuller, Kimberly Ryder, Carol Craig.
We know Carol.
Carol Wendling. We're going to be discussing the theme of securing the future.
Right.
Women leaders in national security.
So you've had this camp, the same STEM engineering construction camp. And what I like about that is it's competitive, but you promote a lot of growth, leadership, team building, and problem solving. The whole idea, it seems to me, is about promoting this teamwork. And we all understand what that's about with the next generation. I mean, our role on planet Earth is actually leave the Earth a better place than we found it.
Yes.
And how wonderful it is that the Space Coast Women in Defense is not only doing that, but you're ensuring that there's going to be a whole bunch of women and men that are involved in science and math and all that. When we're seeing where in education, a lot of people are being questioning a lot of what's going on with the school system, with reading and, mm-hmm. and book banning and all that kind of stuff. But you all are saying, well, wait a minute, we've got people who are interested in space, and this is what we're doing.
Well, I think bringing the young people into these conversations, it's amazing how smart they are and how they begin to challenge our way of thinking. So I think that give and take and that exchange between generations, if you will, helps challenge us to become better world citizens.
That's right. And you're spreading the knowledge, right?
We are.
And you're helping.
Mm-hmm.
So this event is coming up, and I know you've got something going on in Orlando at some point, too.
That's the one in Orlando, yes.
Right. So that's going to be a big one.
It will be big. We've got a lot of excitement.
And if people wanted to go, but they wanted to carpool, you know, I was thinking about that one when I saw that one, the one going to Orlando, and I thought, when you have events where you have to go out of town, it would be good if you had, like, transportation where people could pay, like, $30-$40 if they had to, but book a seat on something like, because sometimes people don't want to drive alone.
Sure. And there will already be going very active engagements going on site during Space Week at the Orange County Convention Center. So if you happen to be there at Space Week and you would like to join us, you can come and pay in the door if you'd like. Like I said, the registration is $25, and that is room W230.
And how much is it to become a member of the Women in Defense per year?
Membership is $90, but it does have a lot of benefits from the Women in Defense National as well as the NDIA. And, of course, at your local chapter, wherever you are in the country, there are numerous chapters available to you.
So can the leader of a singing group, a band, join? And can a nurse join? And can a retired person join?
I have been a member, actually.
Yeah, I was too, and then I dropped off for a while. But I think it's a great group because, I mean, we're all watching what's going on with Los Angeles with the fires,
mm-hmm.
and we all know that climate change is coming. We all know that we have to protect our environment, and what would we do without scientists? And so what a great group to promote people who are in science and math and all this kind of stuff. I think it's amazing, and it's great. It's incredible work you guys are doing, too.
I'm proud of us.
Yes.
We're doing a great job.
And so give us the website where people can go and find the events and opportunities to volunteer, opportunities to be a mentor, and donate, because you always need donations for the scholarships.
Sure. Visit us on our website at widsc.org.
Right. We'll make sure we post all that great information on our website and, of course, all of our social media channels and so forth as this goes out to everyone.
And Allie, when you're talking to your friends who are retired, let them know that there are organizations and nonprofits such as WID that will take a few bucks extra if they have so that we could help our young ones in team building and innovation and all this stuff that's going on, because, you know, we must put America first.
Absolutely.
And we should. And the only way to put our country first is to invest in our students, our children, our foundation. Look at India and all these countries and people. We've got to, I hate to say, but we got to start putting America first, not just in first grade, but all the way up, right?
Yep.
So, Ellen, what a great segment. I just love when Gail comes on. She's so calm. She brings a lot of calmness. And, you know, thanks for believing in us, too. Women in Defense has been a friend of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for a long time.
Yes.
And we've tried to be their friend and attend. And I will attend some of your activities because that one is in the evening. And I may go join and be a member again just because I do believe we have to invest in our children.
We do.
And this
Absolutely.
Is one of the ways to do it.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Yes. We'll make sure we post all of that information on our website so that you can get in contact with Gail or any one of the great folks with the Women in Defense here at the Space Coast. And once again, thanks for joining us and sharing the airwaves.
Thank you so much.
Education. Of course, Peter from Renaissance Festival.
Yay.
Don't forget, we're going to be promoting the Renaissance Festival all through the 6 weeks, 7 weeks that it's going to be going on. And once again, thanks for tuning in, everyone, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on 1510 WWBC. We're here each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please tune in, and we will see you soon.